I know we all did, so let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this amazing opportunity to meet with you, God. I thank you that whatever happened throughout the week, we can leave it here at the altar and go back to our seats changed, ready to hear the word. God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit will move in this place because you desire to see a change in us. You desire to mold and shape our hearts the way that you would want them to look, God. So I thank you that all of us are open right now to what you want to do on the inside of us, God. I thank you that we can praise your name because you are so good and you deserve all of our attention, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready? Truth is that I was set free 2,000 years ago, amen? the fact might be that this culture has no idea where to fit me because I'm so different, but the truth is I know who I am in Christ, amen? So we're gonna celebrate that this morning. Are you ready?
We are a chosen generation, called for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called for to show His excellence.
Come on, sing it out, declare it.
All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I'm working miracles. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. Chosen generation, called for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who. Says I am, what He says I am, where
God, if you know who you are, if you know that you got your identity in Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, let me hear another shout. We ain't finished. Come on, y'all. Y'all know how to praise. Y'all know how to give God glory. Y'all know how to... Hey, come on. When I think about what God has done for me, when I think about what God has done for me, I can't hear you. When I think about what God has done for me, come on, I better hear something. When I think about what God has done for me, hallelujah. Y'all are awesome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man. Who knows that worship is sacrifice? Hallelujah. One more time. Come on, guys, sing.
If you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit, I will open up inside.
Sing that again. You provide, hallelujah.
If you provide the fire,
I'll provide the sacrifice.
I'll provide the sacrifice.
You provide the Spirit.
You provide the Spirit.
I will open up inside.
I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me.
Fill me up, God.
Fill me.
Fill me up, Lord.
Fill me.
To be filled up.
I'll provide the sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
If you provide, the Spirit,
yes, Lord, I'll open up inside.
I will open up.
Sing
inside.
That one more time. You provide.
You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice.
You provide the Spirit.
You provide the Spirit.
Fill me up, Lord.
Fill me,
yeah. worship on the inside, won't fill me up, Lord, yeah. Fill me up,
fill me up,
yes, Lord,
fill me up,
fill me up.
Hallelujah, if you want him to fill you up, you gotta worship like you want him to fill you up. Hallelujah, put your hands up. Give God the glory, the honor. Give him that thing that is holding you back from the place that you are supposed to go. Let him fill you up right now. Hallelujah. Fill me up.
Fill me up.
Fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. You fill me up, Lord.
Fill me up.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Fill me up.
My heart is open.
Fill me
up. I'm ready for your anointing, Lord.
Fill me up.
Let your cup run it
through. Fill me
up. And fill my cup. Say that again.
Fill me up.
Fill me up, Jesus. Worship you.
Spirit of hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. Yes. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Spirit, Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit, Spirit, fall on us. We surrender. We need your presence. Your kingdom come.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done here as in heaven.
Go ahead, sing it out loud.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We
in the name of Jesus. Roba cara de boscia.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. Holy Ghost, we want you stronger in this place. We need you stronger. We declare our need for you, God. We declare that without you, we are nothing. We declare that you are the strength of our life. We declare that, Jesus, in you we live, in you we move, and in you we have our being. God, we refuse to be people that are independent from you. Jesus, we declare our dependence on God. The world says you need a crutch, but God says you need a king. Hallelujah. And Father, we declare that you are our king, and we submit to you, and we declare that you are owner. You are owner of our lives. You bought us with a price. And Jesus, our lives are not our own. God, today our lives are to do one thing: bring glory to your name. And Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that we're not singing to a ceiling or getting involved with just emotionalism, but God, we're literally touching heaven this morning. That heaven, Father God, you're paying attention. You are hearing your children. And Holy Spirit, you're releasing your power in this place. In the name of Jesus. God, everything we need is where your presence is. When you were in that house, it declares the presence of the Lord was there to heal. And Jesus, wherever you are, every need that we have has to crumble in your sight. Thank you that your truth is greater than any fact. That God, you are supernatural and not a religious icon, but you are alive and alive in us. Thank you for the privilege of worshiping you. Come on, thank him for the privilege of worshiping. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Come on, thank him for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you for washing our sins away. Thank you for making us whole before the Father. Thank you that today we can lift our hands without wrath or malice and give you the glory that's due your... Come on, don't stop now. Don't stop now. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness in our lives, God. We honor you. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. And Lord, today we thank you that we can gather in your name. We can gather in your house as you have commanded us to do. Father, I thank you that even those who have been wandering for a while will walk in these doors and just know that this is where they have to be every week to be in your corporate anointing. It's in that corporate anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage, oh God. It's in that corporate anointing where the blessing flows. Father, I thank you that this morning we have not been to church. We have been to your house. We honor you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Make your way back to your chair. We're not going to do meet and greet this morning because we simply want enough time to be able to preach the word and make sure that what God is going to do, you're going to be able to hear and participate with. Hallelujah. Thank you. I do want to say this. Everybody say this out loud with me. Honor brings access. Say it one more time. Honor brings access. I want to thank you for honoring us this morning and being in the house. We know we have one more service after this. And I just want to thank you. There is very few times that as pastors we ask you to be in the house of God. And there are many that are still out doing their thing. And I just want to make the declaration, honor brings access. God opens special doors when you honor in obedience. And so I just want to say thank you so much for honoring this morning. We want to welcome all of our guests
And we want to thank all of those. This is your very first time at His Tabernacle Family Church. We have a gift for you. We're not going to make you stand up. We're not going to embarrass you. But we want to honor you for coming and giving your morning to the Lord. So if you're a first-time guest this morning, if you could raise your hand up, we'd appreciate it. We'd love to give you a gift. There you go, young lady right there. If I could have the team move quickly, please. Hallelujah. Where is the team? There they are. Very good. Praise the Lord. Any other guests in the house? Oh, over on this side is my aunties. My aunties are here. Glory, Auntie Joan. Yeah, come on now. What's that? We still have, oh, very good. Right over here, we have folks on the front row. Oh, yeah, we got lots of guests this morning. Hallelujah. What's amazing is those that are watching by live stream, many of you have said, I'm going to go to church one of these days. I had a gentleman come to me this week and said, I've been thinking about going to church there for 2 years. And I said, well, it's time to stop thinking. It's time to start doing. Amen. Do you realize if just the television ministry came to this church, you know what happened? We would literally have to open 2 more services. They figure between 3 and 5,000 people watch every single week the television program, His Word TV. And so, where's my dad? He's in the back somewhere too. There's my dad over there. My father's here. My mother's here. Wow, I got family in this place. Uncles and aunts in the front. Uncle Harold, he's the reason my earlobe is longer on one side than the other when I was a child. We're just so blessed to have you all. If you're a guest on live stream this morning, we want to celebrate you as well. Can we just give our live stream audience a hand clap? Amen. We know literally all over the world people are watching. And they're participating with the service this morning. So if you'll just turn to someone and say, thank you for honoring the pastors this morning. We have some phenomenal news for you. And I know that some of you posted, are you leaving? We already told you. Listen, if you've been listening long enough, we're lifers here. So if you're asking if we're leaving, I don't know why you'd ask that. Dear Lord, we told you years ago, God told us we'd be lifers here. We're not going anywhere. But we have some news for you that will rock you right down to your socks. Amen? Turn to someone and say, I'm going to try to keep my socks on this morning. Amen. This morning, I do want to make a quick announcement. Actually, we only have, I believe, 5 HT stickers left for your car. If you would like one of the 5, if you'll get up here, you can have it. You got to come and get it, though. I'm not going to come to you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here we go. Thank you. Remember, they go on the outside of your car. That's why we're giving them to you now, so that you can make sure they're there. Amen? I have some great news as well. Pastor Rhonda has written another book, and it is now out. The name of the book is called No More Hurt. I don't know if we can get a close-up on that, Doc. No More Hurt. Very good. No More Hurt. We have a book and also a workbook. And so you'll be able to purchase these on Amazon.com, as well as in a couple weeks we'll have them here in-house as well. We also got a new shipment of Rock Solid Faith Red Books. So if you need them, they're available as well. This morning we want to receive the offering. I do want to say a few things about the offering. Usually my wife receives it. Gary, I'm so glad to see you. God's going to give you a miracle, man. You've been believing the Lord. God loves you, brother. Amen. Many times, my wife, when she receives the offering, you know, she is just a great woman of faith. Now, you need to know that. She's a great woman of faith. And for myself, you know, she has more faith than I have. So I talk a little bit more. What does that mean? When we switched over from one company to the next, we had a large group of people not tithing anymore from one week to the next. And we just need to let you know that we're not a church with $300,000 in our bank. We're not a church with $50,000 in our bank. We spend way too much on souls. What? Do we spend too much money on souls? How much more money should we spend? All we got. And that's what we do here. Glory to God. Last year, this house gave over $270,000 to home and foreign missions. That was a little less than one-third of the church budget. We do that over 30% because we believe that we are here to change lives, not sack a big bank account. Amen? So I want to thank you for your tithing. You might think it's little or it makes no effect. I want you to know that every dollar allows this kingdom, God's kingdom, to continue to reach the lost in Jesus' name. Every week, we're ministering to over 200 children. We bus them in. Every bus costs money. We just have to put tires. We're just putting tires. We sold one of the buses. We're putting tires on three buses. That costs $6,000 just to put tires on the school buses so we can pick up these children and change the next generation. Amen. Is it worth it? Hey, I said, is it worth it to change a generation? I want you to know that you're not throwing money into the sky or throwing money away or putting it in the pastor's pocket. What you're doing is you are sowing into changing lives. Turn to someone and say, you are a life transformer. You are. God is using your life and finances to change lives. And I'm excited today that you are here in this house. What we do, if you're a guest, we actually bring our offerings to the Lord. We have some folks that have already started laying it right on the altar as a sacrifice to the Lord. You can do that as well. But we want to make sure that you have the opportunity to honor God with your tithe and your offering. So make sure that you're a sower. Turn to someone and say, I love to sow. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. You have your envelopes in your chair. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? I can't hear you. Are you ready to give? Well, you know, it's church. They're asking for more money. Put that money in your pocket if you just said that. We don't need that. We want everything given in faith. Amen? Because these are life changers. We are transformers by the kingdom of God. Make the declaration according to the word of God. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. Come on now, the blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. And make sure when you touch that plate, you say, oh God, I thank you that I'm sowing into your kingdom. If you're giving by live stream this morning, we want to make sure that you get right off and you hit that button, give. Many of you have been watching and just enjoying, but you're not giving. And you know what? I don't mind putting right back in your face. You need to be a giver. If you're receiving, be a giver. It's the principles and the nature of God. We love you and enjoy the rest of the service.
Chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am, I know who God says I am.
Come on, come on. Give Jesus a hand clap. Come on, stand to your feet and give Jesus a hand clap. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your deliverer, your Savior. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Hey! If you're excited to be in the house, come on, give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords one more shout of praise. Come on, honor the King with your mouth. Honor him with your praise. Amen, amen, amen. Please remain standing. If I could have our phenomenal senior pastors. If you were not here last week, may I please see your hand? Not to judge, it's okay. Hi, hi, hi. Awesome. Well, y'all missed out a phenomenal service. We had a great sermon, great worship. But we did one thing last week that was incredibly important to me and to the rest of the body, and that was to celebrate and honor our senior pastors. Come on, give them a hand clap. This is something that happens around the world, across the country every single year, but we don't take it lightly here, amen? There is a strong anointing on this house. We are rooted in the word. We are rooted in sound doctrine, and we have oversights that truly love us. I believe that one of the saddest passages in the scriptures is when Jesus went back to his hometown, and it was his people that he grew up with, and they heard about all the things that he was doing. Some of them probably even saw it, but for some reason, there was dishonor there. For some reason, there was familiarity there, and for some reason, they just could not get past the point that because we know him, there probably is something more to him. And we need to appreciate that and to celebrate that. I believe that there are three levels of how people can be treated in the church. Is to be tolerated, appreciated, and celebrated. And I truly, wholeheartedly believe after my 7 years here at His Tabernacle Family Church, our senior pastors are to be celebrated. Come on. Come on. Give that. Come on now. They are to be celebrated. Not tolerated, not just merely appreciated, but celebrated. Amen? The Bible declares in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule well, do they rule well? Come on, come on, do they rule well? All right, here's what the word says. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Dr. Michael Spencer, Pastor Rhonda Spencer, they are worthy of double honor. So here's what I would like to do. For those of you that were not here last week, I want to give you that same opportunity to sow into them. Because as Pastor said, when you sow, you unlock. And there's so much inside of them that you and I have not received yet. But today could be that day you begin to receive. Amen? So if you were not here last week, and if you'd like to sow into the man and woman of God to not only tolerate, not only appreciate, but to celebrate them, please raise your hand high. If you gave last week and you want to give again, please raise your hand. That is okay. Million is M-I-L-L-I-O-N. Pastor loves cash, crispy $100 bills. But above all, they love you. They truly love each and every single one of you. Amen. So please keep your hand lifted up if you were not here last week or if you want to give again, want to give you that opportunity. Father, we thank you so much. We honor and we bless the man and the woman of God. We thank you, Lord, for calling them to oversee us. Lord, for giving them authority and for us to give them permission into our lives. Lord, we thank you for where this house is going, and we thank you that we're being steered in the right direction with phenomenal shepherds that are over this house. Lord, we do not just tolerate them, we do not just appreciate them, but today we wholeheartedly celebrate them in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. If you would like, please quickly come down and place down your pastoral offering, and we'll just get right to the word. Amen.
Thank you so much. I know that some of you tolerate me. That's okay. I'm a bad person sometimes. Many of you have been wondering what the announcement is, and I already hopefully took the edge off. Some of you thought we were leaving. I don't understand that. It means you haven't been here long enough. But we do have a phenomenal message for you today. Many people don't recognize that faith is theory until tested. Faith is theory until tested. So when it comes time for testing, you better make sure you have a really good foundation. And a lot of individuals don't have a really good foundation. So when they're tested, they don't survive. And we have an announcement for you. I'm going to let my wife make it.
How many of you in this place have seen a physical miracle in your lifetime? Actually seen and watched? Amen. How many of you have never seen a physical miracle in your life? Watched something change before your very eyes? Never seen that before? Awesome. Well, I am a walking miracle today. Thank you, Jesus. A little over a month ago, just before Rock the City, it started, but I was diagnosed with cancer. And our staff didn't even know this. We didn't tell anyone because I didn't want to give Satan any glory whatsoever. But I'm here to tell you today that by the end of this service, you are going to get to see images of an actual miracle where God has literally taken cancer out of my body that was there and now it's gone.
Truth trumps facts. Truth trumps facts. Truth trumps facts. Truth trumps facts. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to see it. Hang on for the ride. Pastor Rhonda's getting ready to preach.
Well, I can truly say that this truth has trumped fact. So just before Rock the City, I started having some physical problems and went to a doctor, and they suspected that it was cancer. And I looked at this very kind and educated doctor and simply told her, "It's okay. I've gotten down on my hands and knees and prayed to God, and I know He's healed me." So I wasn't sure at that point if she was looking at me like I was this crazy person because my facts in front of me certainly weren't lining up at that point with the truth that I knew from the Word of God. So we determined at this point that we weren't going to tell people and in any way give the devil glory for his hideous actions. I want my body to glorify God and God only. This started a deluge of testing. In and out of the hospital every few days, needles and blood work and MRIs and CAT scans, PET scans scheduled, sedations, biopsies, and ugly bruises. I got a call in one night that I needed to come in early at 7:30 the next morning to talk to the doctor. And that was not the result that I expected. I was expected that I was healed when I told the first doctor that I was healed. Now, this man was a professional, and he does this every single day. He was very knowledgeable and very kind. But his report was that my biopsy had come back cancerous and that he was very, very sorry to have to tell me that. But again, I looked him right in the eye and I told him that I was healed and Jesus was taking that cancer out of my body. Now I had to stand, and when I had done all to stand, keep standing, because my reports kept coming back, not what I was speaking and declaring. My mind and my thoughts had to battle constantly. You know, those old religious questions like, do I have sin in my life? Is there something keeping me from God's blessing? And as I began to study the Word of God, I watched where he healed them and forgave their sins. He healed them and go and sin no more. So it's not sin. It is not sin unless it's purposeful and willful sin that is keeping you from God healing you. That is a religious lie that will keep you from the power of God in your life. And then why is this happening to me? Like, God, I try to do everything good and I try to obey you. There were times when tears would well up in my eyes and other times where they would just flow. Then there were times where the doctor's words would just replay over and over in my mind, overwhelming me and fear gripping me. I fought the pity party Satan was throwing in my name. I declared Satan would not get glory from me. As the nurse practitioner was staging me based on doing this every single day, I stopped her and respectfully said to her, I hear you, but I tell you, I believe that God has healed me. I could see the panic in her eyes. Uh-oh, another one of these. But I assured her that I would go through every hoop and every process that they needed me to go through. Because I believe anything that thwarts sickness is good. So I looked at her. I wasn't condemning her as a bad person because everything she does thwarts sickness, and that is good. She then responded with that she was a Christian too, and she began to come to my side of believing with me. I was swept right into meetings with doctors telling me what they were going to do. Drugs, medicine, that wasn't even a consideration. That wasn't an option. Wanting to immediately start radiation and chemo 5 days a week. Staging the cancer based on their best knowledge. But before reports had even come streaming in. So I looked again at this doctor and told him, but doctor, I believe that I've been healed of God. So at this point, I've been telling every single doctor that I'm healed, no matter what the report was that came back in. And all of his professionalism of what he does day in and day out, he looked at me and said, I'm sorry, once cancer is diagnosed, that is what it is, no matter how much you don't want it to be. And by the way, are you experiencing signs of depression? Because the will to live is so important in your case right now. I said, thank you, but please, in your next test, do a rebiopsy. Please do a rebiopsy because I believe that I am healed. And he agreed to do retesting in the next round. From the first moment of hearing my diagnosis, I started saturating myself with the truth of God's word, morning and night. So important. All through the day, all through the night, we were playing. My husband was constantly putting on healing reports and scriptures. And then there's that religious statement that is truth, because when you do what we do and all the things that are going on, you do have a bullseye on your head. But guess what? We have been given all authority over every device of the enemy, and that does not scare me. So the statement that it's an attack of the devil almost got me. That statement, when we receive that as a Christian, it's an attack of the devil. It was, for a split second, almost a reception of it because it was an attack of the devil. It had a reasoning. But as soon as that thought came in my mind, something rose up inside of me. Wait a minute. If this is an attack of the devil, all the more reason that it has no right in my body, that it's trespassing on me. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So the devil was not just trespassing on my body. He was trespassing on the precious blood of my Jesus. How dare he trespass on the blood of Jesus and what was accomplished on the cross? And then thoughts of, I'm tired. And it sure would be nice to have someone else carry me through right now. Sympathy seems like really great attention. This is only accepting it. And I cannot afford to take any sympathy right now. We don't have the luxury to be complacent. Nobody else's faith will work for me. God looked at the woman and said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." And then, you know, thinking maybe only people like that are important or with super strong faith get healed. Maybe I won't. The word of God says that he's no respecter of persons. And it says that all it takes is a mustard seed of faith. Those are lies. Those are religious lies of why people aren't healed. Those are not your truth. This is your truth. This is your promises. You see, it's not a formula to follow. You pat your head and you rub your tummy and then you'll get healed. It's simply that we believe this word. Simply that we believe. We must be convinced that his word is true. That this is the voice of God. Every word on this page is the voice of God to you and your situation. This book is true. It is his promises, and they are for every single one of you. All of us, his promises are true. God is no respecter of persons. When that lie comes in your head that, oh, I'm not important enough, I'm not good enough, I must have sin in my life, those are lies. He is no respecter. He healed all that came to him. We must be convinced. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we've got to believe that it's true. Every excuse and every yeah but that we use omits the power of this book that we so desperately need in our lives. This book is full of his promises to us. And God cannot lie. God cannot lie. That has rang through my head in the last 6 weeks over and over. God cannot lie. He can't. He is not a man that he could lie. This word right here, it's called the Old and New Testament, right? Do you know what a testament is? A testament is a will. This is God's will and testament to you. And a will and testament, when the person dies, becomes more real and more true and more activated in our lives than when it was penned. So today, his will and testament is true for every single... You want to know what his will is? Whatever is written on these pages, that is what his will is. Not the lies that come in our head. Everything on these pages, that is his will to you. He teaches us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we sang it this morning. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is how he taught us to pray. His will in heaven be activated in our lives today. And everything that is in heaven is activated in our lives today. This is his promise to every single one of us. Healing is God's will for us. To say that the days of miracles are past is saying the opposite of the truth. That a will is no good after the death of the testator. Until the person seeking healing is sure from God's word that it is God's will to heal them, He is trying to reap a harvest where there is no seed planted. You see, if our seeds are planted right here, then we can expect a harvest of healing. But if our seeds are planted with diagnoses and symptoms and words and whatever other thing that opposes this, then we are not going to reap from this. We are going to reap from whatever we are planting seeds to. So we must plant our seeds to the Word of God. It would be impossible for a farmer to have faith for a harvest before a new seed was even planted. We can't just sit and expect a harvest to come. Seeds must be planted in the ground. And the Word of God is a seed. And this seed is powerless unless we plant it. Somewhere along the way in Christendom, we've left our belief in this truth for human reasoning. Listen, I caught myself with all those human reasonings, all those lies of the enemy. We've had all our excuses and reasons why people aren't healed. But the Word of God says, if you believe, you will receive. Say that with me right now. If I believe, I will receive. If I believe, I will receive. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. That's the voice of God to your situation right now. Matthew 21:22 says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. That's the voice of God to your situation right now, whatever it is. So here I was presented with life and death, with the truth that trumps facts in my hands, and all the religious junk and lies in my head. I had an onslaught of them to get through, but I had only to believe, have faith in God, trust that all of His promises are true for me, and God cannot lie. Say that with me. God cannot lie. In Isaiah 53:5, it says, but He was wounded for our transgressions, our sins, and He was bruised for our iniquities, again, our wrongdoings. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. That is the truth from the Word of God. In that same truth, that is the salvation atonement package of what was done on the cross. And salvation is not just for our sins. You know, I found myself a Christian, a preacher that had minimized salvation down to it was simply to wash away my sins. Salvation is so much more than just washing away our sins. It is everything that we need to be made completely whole in our body, in our soul, and in our spirit. Right in that passage, it includes everything, not just forgiveness of sins. By His stripes, in that same package, I was healed. We easily think salvation is only for our sins, but also that our healing is not in that same package. But He forgives us of our sins. And then we question whether He will heal us, whether it's His will or not. In the same verse, in the same act, He washed away your sins and He healed you of all your diseases, every single sickness and disease. So just like you believe He washed your sins away, you can stand on and trust in the fact that He healed you of every single disease in the face of all your situations, circumstances, symptoms, doctor's reports, whatever it is, you can trust God. Matthew 8:17 says, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Some Christians today explain the failure of some to receive healing by calling into question God's willingness to heal all sick people. They should then also call into question his willingness to save every person who is a sinner. They call into question his willingness to save all sinners in order to explain the fact that so many in churches are unsaved. The nine disciples failed to heal the epileptic boy. God desires so much to heal you that even when his servants are not successful, he will come in and heal you. After that happened, God came in and healed and delivered that boy. God's desire is to heal every single one. It is impossible for one ever to pray with faith until the if has been removed from our prayers. There is no faith in if it be your will. We know his will. He's given it to us. It's his will and testament for your life. To have real faith is to be fully persuaded that God will do what he has promised to do. No one is ever fully persuaded when he adds, if it be thy will. We know his will. God revealed his will in this matter by his promises. For us to say, if it be your will, is like us saying, if it's your will to keep your promises. And he's been very clear that he will keep every one of his promises. I'm going to read some scriptures really quickly to you so that you can be persuaded and you can be convinced of what God's will is and his testament is for you in your life. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers and he will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. God cannot lie. Psalms 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God cannot lie. 2 Chronicles 30, 18 through 20 says, Hezekiah prayed for them saying, may the good Lord provide atonement, his whole salvation package, for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers. Though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary, and the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed all of the people. God cannot lie. Mark 16, 17 through 18 says, and these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God cannot lie. Exodus 23, 25 through 26 says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you, and I will fulfill the number of your days. God cannot lie. Psalms 103, 2 through 5 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Don't just receive some. All of his benefits. And it says they are who forgives all of your sins and who heals all of your diseases, all of them, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. God cannot lie. And then in James 5, 14 through 16, it says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God cannot lie. Luke 4:40. This is the disciples with Jesus. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. All these places I'm reading, all that came were healed of every disease. There's nothing exempt from that, all and every. God cannot lie. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. God cannot lie. Matthew 9:35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 10:1, and when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness. All kinds of sickness. God cannot lie. You've been given power to pray and heal all kinds of sickness. Matthew 12:15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes continued to follow, and he healed them all. There's no place. You can't find it in here. There's no place where they weren't healed. There's no place in today where you will not be healed, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we give it up because of religious mentality of holding anything else above the truth. This is our truth, and we need to, our life depends on if we stand on this truth or not. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Hold on. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Why are we accepting lesser? Why are we accepting, maybe that day has passed, maybe this is just on me to teach? There's nothing in the Word of God that says that. The Word of God, your truth, says every and all is taken care of. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. God cannot lie. Then all the other sick people on the island, this is after Jesus, this was Peter. All the other sick people on the island came, and they were all healed. Peter, one of the disciples. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us the assurance about things we cannot see. You see, the things you cannot see are more real than the things that you can see in front of your face. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. No matter how many promises are in this book, every single one of them for you are yes. That is John 14:12-14. Hebrews 11:1 and 2 Corinthians 1:20. God cannot lie. And 1 Thessalonians 2:2-13 says, for this reason, we give thanks to God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, and welcomed it, not as word from men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. If we resist the devil, in James 4:7 says, he will flee. It is your truth that trumps every fact in your life. Our attitude towards sickness should be the same as our attitude towards sin. Our purpose to have our body healed should be as definite as our purpose to have our soul healed. We should not ignore any part of this gospel. Our substitute bore both sins and sickness, that we might be delivered from all of them. Christ's bearing of our sins and sickness is surely a valid reason for trusting him now for deliverance from both sin and sicknesses. Hebrews 6, 11 through 12 says, our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Too much of the church is spiritually dull and indifferent and made of no effect. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit this will and testament, God's promises, because of their faith and endurance. Those are the ones I want to be counted with, not the spiritually dull and indifferent. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 says, my son, give attention to my word. This is what we give attention to. Not our circumstances, not our difficulties, not our fears. We give attention to our truth. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, not what everybody else is saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep it always in front of you. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them. Note the word find there. It doesn't just drop in your lap. And it's health to all of their flesh. God cannot lie. Instead of having our eyes on our symptoms and being occupied with them, and believe me, I know how hard that is when you're being told every day what they say is going on with your body. Instead of having our eyes on our symptoms and being occupied with them, let God's word not depart from your eyes. When your eyes are upon the symptoms and your mind is occupied with them more than God's word, you have in the ground the wrong kind of seed for the harvest that you desire. So right now, if you've been focusing on the wrong thing, I charge you to stop focusing on those things and focus on the word of God. Because when you plant this seed, it will bring forth the harvest that you desire. Your symptoms may point you to death, but God's word points you to life. And you cannot look at these opposite directions at the same time. You can choose one or the other. Which one will you choose to focus on today? Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we are destroying sophisticated arguments. You see, I got some very sophisticated, from the best in their field, arguments presented to my life. And every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive and making it obey the word of God. We need to take every one of those thoughts, every one of those purposes captive, and we need to make it obey God's word, because God cannot lie. This is our truth. Focusing on lying vanities is what Jonah calls it, will cause us to forsake our own mercies. Jonah didn't deny the facts. You see, he had disobeyed God. All right, so take that out of your excuses of why you're still sick. He had disobeyed God. He was running from the call. He was currently in the belly of a whale. He called those facts lying vanities. And guess what? The devil, that's what he is. He is a liar. That is what he does. He lies. Those are lying vanities. And if we focus on them, we forsake our own promises from this book, our own mercy. Let me read this to you. Jonah 2, 7 through 9. Jonah, this is his prayer. In that place where he had disobeyed God, he's in the belly of a whale. It's pretty stinky. Those are bad circumstances all around him, with a sure death at the end of it. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered Jehovah, and my prayer came in unto thee, into the holy temple. They that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that which I have vowed, salvation completely made whole is of Jehovah. So in that situation, he chose to just praise God and to not focus on those lying vanities. And immediately God spoke to that whale and caused him to spit him out of his mouth and do the supernatural for Jonah. It is more rational to expect God to keep his promises than to expect him to break them. I'm going to tell you again, it is more rational to expect God to keep his promises than to expect him to break them. And isn't it more rational to think that the devil is a liar and anything that raises itself up against the word of God is a lie and not your truth? Romans 4:19-21 says, "And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was dead and gone, and so was Sarah's womb. In fact, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to perform whatever he had promised." When we base our faith on our improvement or are affected by our symptoms or by what we see or feel instead of the word of God alone, just to that extent, it is not real faith. We cannot, I'm telling you, every report that was coming back was not lining up with my truth, but I kept declaring my truth in the face of it, whether they thought I was a crazy woman or not. Actually, at one point, I told God, either they're going to think I'm a crazy woman or you're going to get glory out of this. I'm setting you up to be glorified. This simply means that everyone who, like Abraham, occupies himself with God's promises so that he is no longer affected by his symptoms shall recover. It means the word of God, not what we see or feel, shall be the basis of my faith, shall be the faith basis of our faith. Terry, you got your example real quickly? So if I blindfolded you, like Terry's going to put this blindfold over his eyes right now, the only thing you're able to see is darkness. That is the reality. That's what you see right now is darkness. Right, Terry? You see darkness. But if I tell you to take a step forward, you're confident that there's going to be ground under your feet. You can't see that, though. All you can see is darkness. You got this confident that there's going to be ground on your feet. Take another step. There's ground under your feet, even though the only thing that he can see in front of his eyes is darkness and hopelessness and that there's nothing in front of him. Now, if I tell you that there's a chair right here and you're going to sit down and there's going to be something under your bottom, you don't even doubt it. You just do it. But why do we put more trust in this stuff that we can see? The things that you can't see are more real than the things that you can see. Even though you can't see it, it's as if you're taking a step forward and knowing there is ground under your feet. Because of God, his faithfulness, and his promises, faith is the surest ground that you can walk on. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is assurance of things hoped for as a conviction of things not seen." Faith is spiritual common sense. We don't think with our minds. We think with the word of God. I can't think with my natural mind. I must think with the word of God. Why should a child of God, a citizen, of the kingdom of God, believe the bare words of others and demand proof from the word of God? I love this passage. It's found in Jeremiah 1:12, and it says, "And the Lord said," that's right, And it means I am watching and I will certainly carry out all of my plans. He is watching over his plans and he will carry every one of them out. When we doubt his word, it's because we're believing something more than we're believing in the word of God. Psalms 119, 89 through 90 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." His word is settled in heaven. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I found in dealing with myself that I was at the intersection of on fire faith and complacency and lukewarm. I was actually standing at an intersection. I was so convicted when I read Revelation 3, 15 and 16. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. It says, "I know your deeds, that they are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, spiritually useless, I will spit you out of my mouth." I could not afford to be at that intersection of lukewarm, spiritually useless, and on fire for God. That's why he tells us, choose one or the other, but don't be spiritually useless. We need to be on fire. We need to be hot for the word of God and not lukewarm, because then we become spiritually useless. How much of the church is spiritually dull and useless because we don't believe this truth in our lives? I quickly had to choose for myself. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let him not think that he will receive anything from the Lord, James 1, 6 through 8. We have to be steadfast, fully convinced, and persuaded of our truth. Have faith in God. He cannot lie. I love this part. I just have to keep going a little bit. John 15, 5, 7 through 9. "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven." His word says that he is the vine and we're the branches. This literally means the life source of the vine itself is flowing through you right now. All of the power of the kingdom of heaven, all of the will of God is flowing through you as a branch from the vine right now. It is actually being connected with God. It is union with the power of God. You see, back in the Old Testament, they had to just touch the hem of his garment to be healed. They desired to touch the hem of his garment. You're walking in the hem of his garment every moment of every day. You're connected to the life source, the vine. This is your truth. This is simply the Bible I'm reading to you. It's the word of God. It's his voice to whatever your situation is right now. If you believe, you will receive. And in that order, not you'll receive and then you believe. If you believe, you will receive. I stood on the truth of the word of God that trumped all the facts that I was facing. And so at this point, the doctor had told me that my report had come back from my biopsy, my second biopsy that I asked them to do. Remember, I said, please re-biopsy this. My report came back. The visible report was horrible. The biopsy report came back that there was no malignancy in my body. Now I shouted and I rejoiced at this point. Oh, but the doctor didn't. So the awesome part about that was my sweet nurse practitioner, who's also a Christian, made the doctor that told me, "Honey, once cancer is diagnosed, that's what it is. Call me and tell me that my biopsy report came back that there was no cancer." And still, he wanted to challenge the power of my God. And he said, "Well, honey, I just think they biopsied the wrong spot. So I'm going to have to go back in and do re-biopsies all over to make sure they're not missing the spot. And I said, doctor, I told you I was healed. And he said, well, I am going to torture, poke, and prod you to make sure that is truth, because that's his job. He would not be a good doctor if he didn't make sure. So I'm not faulting him at all. I said, doc, go ahead. Do whatever you got to do to me. I'm going to show you God has healed my body. So he scheduled me for further torture, poking, and prodding, which I joyfully went to this time. And if I could have Rick show you, now you get to see. Go ahead and sit down real quick. If you can stand yourself, I can't even stand it. I'm going to show you test one. This is test one. This is the horrible, horrible, horrific. There's blotches and inflammation everywhere. And then the report of that one, go ahead, next page. Malignant tumor that showed right in the first one. And then test two, this is the one he said they must have gotten the wrong spot. Nope. Visibly, they tattooed that spot for removal. So, nope, they didn't get the wrong spot. That's test two. And then the report, the visible report of test two, was that it was staged T2 N2 with many malignant appearing lymph nodes that were visibilized. He said 4 to 6 different ones were malignant. So that was the visible report. And then after the visible report came the biopsy that, oh, must be the wrong spot because there's no malignancy there when there was before. It's even been tattooed. And then I'm going to go back through just so you can get this visual. Test one, test two. And then 6 days later, wait, don't go. Ah, you went. Okay. 6 days later. This is the testing of that same test two. Now, that was not drugs or medication because they weren't offering that option. That was Jesus Christ removed those tumors from my body. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. Test three. No biopsy showed no dysplasia, and he biopsied everywhere. No cancer in my body. No cancer. Man. Whew. Truth trumps facts. God's truth trumps facts, and he's the same. He's no respecter of persons in this place today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still working miracles. Now my eyes fill with tears, but they're just tears of joy of my awesome God and how he delivered me. Do you believe for you that truth trumps facts? Some of you today are in this place and you're good stewards and you're tithers, but you're in the need of a real financial breakthrough. God cannot lie. His word says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. He says he will provide, whether it be in the form of manna or in the form of the promised land as milk and honey. God will provide for you. That is what his word says. Expect financial miracle to come in your life. Some of you need to have the truth trump facts in your mind. God has given you a sound mind, and you have the mind of Christ. This is your truth. This is the voice of God to you. Some of you need the truth of the word in fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear. He gives peace that passes all understanding. Some need truth to trump facts. In that you're a new creation and old things are passed away and sin no longer has control over your life and it does not have a hold on you. And some of you need the truth to trump facts in your physical body. And the truth is, God heals all of every sickness and disease. Every single one. God cannot lie. I pray today that a fire has been set in your believer. That it has been started as you too stand today at the crossroads of lukewarm and spiritually useless or on fire. Every one of us have the choice today of what you can't look both directions. We either believe God and that he cannot lie and that truth will trump facts, or we're looking in the wrong direction and we're going to reap a harvest we do not want. But when you stand and you've done everything to stand in the face of every report that will come at you, and you keep standing and you stand there for, then truth will trump every fact in your life. If I could have the prayer team and the ministers at the altar today, listen, I don't want you to leave this place. I don't want you to leave this place until you've agreed with God that truth is going to trump whatever fact it is in your life. Some of you may want to come forward and get somebody to agree with you, but I'm going to pray with every single one of you. Before we go there, wait. The same package where God heals us and delivers us and makes us whole, he forgives us of all of our sins. So maybe there's some of you that haven't even gotten that step yet. And today, you want to invite Jesus into your heart and make him the Lord and King. He is a good God, and he is worthy to be praised. If you're in this place today and you want to accept Jesus into your heart, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to come right down forward. Mindy, where are you? Come right to the center. Come right down forward, and we're going to lead you to the best friend that you will ever have, one that will never fail you. Right now, if you need Jesus in your life, if you've not asked him into your heart, I want you to come forward real quickly. We're not going to wait long. Okay, I'm believing everyone's saved in this house today then, because if not, you're missing out on the best gift that's out there. So today, I want to pray with every single one of you. I want you to go ahead for 1 second, put that fact up in front of your face, because you're going to watch God's word, his truth, tear that thing down. And it does not matter what you see. It does not matter what you hear. We're going to stand on the truth of the word of God and watch miracles be released in our lives. So right now, raise your hands up. Get ready for freedom and deliverance. Healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, our faith is in you. It is in your word. It is in your voice and your testament and your will to us. God, we will not waver. We will not be tossed to and fro. We will not look at circumstances and situations or symptoms or the report of anything except for the report of the word of God. We declare your truth in our situations right now. Father God, we release supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles in every single life today that you have trumped their fact. You have trumped that fact. You have made us whole. You have forgiven us of our sins. You have healed our body, our soul, and our spirits. You have blessed and favored us. You have mercy and compassion on us. You are no respecter of persons. There is no reason that can stand for any person in this place to not be healed, saved, and delivered from anything. There's no reason that can stand up to the word of God. So right now, whatever is there, we command you to obey the word of God. We command circumstances, symptoms, diagnosis. You obey the word of God. You obey want you to come forward and receive prayer right now. Go ahead and come on forward. And the rest of you, we pray that you have a blessed, supernatural, walking in miracles, because I know who I am. If you're a guest in the house today, come right over to the guest reception. We would love to personally meet you. I love you all. Have an incredible, miraculous day.